This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. Over the course of the last few weeks, I've had a couple books drop in my lap that really stopped me on a dime. And my guest today, Jane Asher, author of the book, The Next Room, was one of those books. And as we dive into the show, you'll hear why it stopped me on a dime. It took me quite a couple weeks here to, I couldn't even finish it, because I'm constantly reading something that resonates with me about my own experiences with the deaths of family members and other members, friends, that kind of thing. Anyway, rather than try to give you the condensed version of Jane's book, The Next Room, Jane, you're up. You get to give that version of The Next Room.
Well, Terry, first, thank you for having me on the show. I so appreciate it. And, you know, it kind of makes me laugh that you said it stopped you on a dime. Because shortly after my mother transitioned, which was exactly 11 years ago on September 31st, I started finding dimes, like just tons of them everywhere and in bizarre places. And I was always a kid that would stop and pick up a penny in the middle of the street. So I started finding dimes and I'm like, what is going on? And, you know, in the dryer, one dime, in the washing machine, at Target, church parking lot, on the seat of my car, always alone, always one dime. And I don't really think anything of it or, you know, associate it with my mom until I had a conversation with a psychic medium. I was working on a radio station here in San Diego doing a night show, and leading up to Halloween, the boss was like, hey, we'll have this person on. She'll deliver messages to loved ones that have crossed over. And I was like, that sounds fun. So I wanted to talk to her about my mom, but I knew she was there to do a job. And so at the end of the evening, her name was Marissa Ryan. She's in Los Angeles, really amazing. She said, Jane, I don't know the significance, but your mother is leaving you dimes. I don't know why. I don't know what it means, but just know every time you find one that they're from your mom. So I came home. I tell my husband, Tom. Tom's like, you got to gather them. You know, you got to, you know, get them together.
Yeah.
So I found this cute little velvet bag and I started saving them. And pretty soon, anyone that I told that my mother was sending me dimes, they started finding them. So friends would send me a picture and go, hi, mom, and hold up a dime, you know. And so it's been, you know, that was kind of like the first type of communication that I had with her that I knew indeed it was her. Mm-hmm. And then it just, I mean, I have so many, Terry, that they're in this little basket that I got in Borneo when I was traveling. I mean, just there's hundreds. And from different countries, too.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Every time I travel, she kind of goes with me. So,
yeah. Isn't it, I'll probably get emotional. Isn't it reassuring and comforting to know that that connection never ends? And I love that you call it the next room. Like I have always said, they're not gone. They're just somewhere
right.
else. And then when I heard
right.
the next room, I'm like, oh my God, that just makes so much sense.
Yeah, it is very comforting. I mean, I was raised super Christian and, you know, heaven, hell, all that kind of stuff. And then as I explored the left coast, I met very intriguing, interesting people. And my knowledge and my understanding and my truth expanded. And so it's just so comforting. And to know that they're always with us. I mean, they're here. I'm in a room filled with all of them because I asked all of them to join me today and help me with my communication skills and also to get the messages out that they wish to have delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what's happening right now is that, you know, you're never shamed.
Yeah.
You're not punished. You are completely going to return to this unfathomable love that is so big and so grand that there's no way that the human can even describe it. Our words don't do what's next justice. So, you know, just get your groove on, love your life now, have the most fun you can possibly have, be a good person. And then when you do, when you're done with this earthly shell, you're just going back. You're going back to this amazing where you just plug back in and feel it more than see it. You know what I mean? It's just like this great. So that's super comforting. And it's, I just love that it's coming from my mom, you know, all of this. It started, well, my dad got the party started, but she is bringing it home. So it's great.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. So my mom died a year ago. And two things. I kept telling her, Mom, it's going to be so beautiful. It's going to be so beautiful. Everybody you loved that is not here on earth, they're going to be there with you. And she would say, I don't know about that because I was raised Catholic and there's a lot of stuff around all of that. And she was, I kept telling her till the end of the last day, I would say it's going to be beautiful. And a week after she died, I had a guest on that was a psychic. And that morning I was having a conversation with my mom, kind of validating some things. And when I had the guest on, I said, listen, this show is not about me. Just want to let you know my mom died a year ago in case it comes up. But I don't want it to be about me. So any messages we'll share before or after. This is about you. And she said, okay, but I just want to tell you one thing. Your mom is here and she wants you to know you were right. And I'm like, woohoo!
You know? Yay, mom. That's
so when
great.
I read this in your book. Like there was one piece in particular when you asked about, you know, what's it like? And she basically said, it's like what you're seeing is like a box, a peephole in a box. And she went on to expand it. And I thought it was so beautiful that she just shows you this whole experience of what it's like.
Yeah, I love that analogy. And my friend Steve Burrows is the artist that drew some of the pictures that are in the book because I just love visuals too. And when she was talking about that, she just described it as like we each have our life experience that we are experiencing right now, our here and now. And we're looking in this little shoebox, at this little hole, and we see everything that we experience. Oh, there's, you know, my dog and there's my family and there's my travels and everything. And then when we pull away, which is death from the box, that's when we go, oh, wow. Oh, wow. You know, I mean, it's just so much grander and, you know, light families and soul energies from beyond that we can't even conceptualize now because we're so human. And that's what she kept saying, stop being so human, you know, just to snap me out of it because I get in my head a lot. And she's like, just stay here, you know, stay in your heart. Mm-hmm. Don't let your head get in the way, you know, because your head will stop you from the grander purpose, you know, of why we're here. And now that I've stepped into this and stepped out and have accepted this, it took a lot because I was your basic rock and roll DJ, right? And everyone I've ever worked with, it's like, oh, Jane Asher, you know, on stage, behind the scenes, rock bands, you know, the DJ on the air that you listen to. And this is now that I stepped into and out of my metaphysical spiritual closet, so to speak, there's no going back. You know, this is who I was born to be. And I just turned 60, which is a crack up. It's like, wow, it kind of took me a while to get here. But I guess there is no getting here. You just keep expanding. As long as we're going to open up and accept and try to talk to people that expand your boundaries, you know, it's really the best.
And I think she says something, you in that same conversation where she says something like learning expansion, so that you used that word expansion. Yes. Thanks again, Mom, right?
Yeah. She kept saying, I think the one thing, my big takeaway, and I need to put it on a t-shirt, is expand without fear. Because I had all this trepidation about, oh, what are people going to think? Or, you know, especially my little hometown, like, oh, you know, there's 25 churches in this town of 500 people, you know, in Deckerville, Michigan.
Deckerville.
Yeah, I love Deckerville. I mean, I'm telling you, the support that I'm getting from my book from my hometown right now, off the charts. Mm. You would think that my San Diego, Santa Barbara woo-woo friends would be all about it. And some are, but Deckerville is like right there. You know, there's a display in the library. I've got friends sending me checks with little extra tips on there so I can go have a cocktail. And it's just cracking me up. So God bless Deckerville, because they are loving it. And I'm getting this response from people in my hometown that are saying, oh my God, I've been thinking about these things, but your sister's articulating them, because everybody's like sending my other sister's messages. And then each morning I wake up and I get another text from Gail saying, I just have to share this with you. This friend of mine read your book, flipped out, you know, just wants to tell you what it meant to her. Hmm. So it's resonating and it's super exciting.
Yeah,
really
that's
exciting.
Such a beautiful validation. And I know in the early part of the book, you talked about a neighbor, a friend of your mom's, where you saw this blue light radiating out.
Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah, her name is Ruthie. She's my mother's best friend.
Yeah.
She and Bob, her husband, lived right around the corner from my folks up in northern Michigan, up in Gaylord. And so they have a gator, which is kind of like a little golf cart, fancy golf cart. And they just pop in for cocktails. And they were always at the house. So shortly after my mother passed, I had not seen my dad for a while. And so I flew home, picked up my oldest sister, Lynn. We head up north. And Lynn's like, let's have Bob and Ruth over for a cocktail. So of course, they come over. It's just my dad, my older sister, Lynn, and Bob and Ruth. And they got there. And so we situated Bob in the living room with my dad and my sister. And they were chatting away. So I'm alone with Ruthie in the kitchen. And there's a medium or a counter big in the middle of the thing, like a workspace. And so Ruthie and I were just like talking and having this great connect. And we leaned forward and we were holding hands and we were looking at one another, excuse me. And I was telling her how much my mother loved her. And I was thanking her for being there for me. And right as I was telling her how much my mother loved her, and we're really close, like 5 inches apart, out of her eyes came like this blue vibrating light. It was like, and it was just coming straight through. And of course, she has no idea. I'm holding her hands and I'm like, okay, this is the coolest metaphysical thing I have ever seen. Had absolutely no fear. I knew it was my mother. Ruthie's eyes are hazel. My mother's eyes were the color of a Michigan clear blue sky on a summer day. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to say anything because I'll freak her out. But then finally I said, Ruthie, you don't have blue eyes. And she dropped my hands. She spun around. She's like, Jane, you're freaking me out. And she's like, that's your mom. And I said, I know. So my mother, for me, that was like, other than the dimes and other than the vivid visitations I had with her in dreams, it was my mother letting me know she could indeed see me. She just needed to use her best friend's eyes to deliver the message. And nothing like that has ever happened since. I mean, I would welcome it. I wait for it. I'm like, oh, I wonder if she's going to do that again. It was a one-off. And I'm telling you, I had to tell all my siblings. And I thought, oh, they're going to think I've lost my mind. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, they didn't. You know, I'm the baby of the family and they've kind of gotten used to my peculiarities and my unique side, I guess. So
yeah, I have to say that was the other connection. I'm the baby. I'm the youngest of six and they think I'm crazy. You know, one day when we're not on the air, we'll share. I'm going to be 60. So
there
are just so many. I'm reading this and I'm going, oh my gosh, is she like
that's
tuned in?
That's a lot of symmetry. I mean, I'm the baby of six. You lost your, did you lose your mom first or your dad?
My dad first.
Your dad first. So a little opposite, but it sounds like your dad crossed right around when my mother did.
He's been gone for 25 years.
And, oh, wow. Okay.
And he came to me instantly.
Wow.
Instantly. There's this whole story around that, but this is about you, not me, but
I love that.
I just loved the similarities. And again, that was why it's taken me a while to get through it and to, cause I really want to experience it through your eyes and what you resonated with during all of this, especially when the messages started to come through. Again, listeners, this is a conversation with Jane Asher about her book, The Next Room. And Jane is also a Sister Empower podcast host, and she does a lot of other things. So you'll want to make sure that you visit her website and look at what she's got going on and get the book and listen to some of her talks. You've got an amazing blog. But there were a couple other things that came up during the book, like Lynn, your mm-hmm. sister, who's mm-hmm. in the next room,
right.
really being part of your inspiration.
Man,
to go.
Huge. Yeah. Crazy. I always thought when I was, I don't know, I've been writing my whole life. And so I always had this fantasy that I would write a book. And, but I didn't really know how to write a book. I'm a radio girl, you know, I'm a DJ. And so, but it was always there. It was always lurking. And so after my mother, you know, crossed and then I was kind of playing with this idea about writing a book where you didn't know that she was in the next room.
Yeah.
But it felt a little too contrived and kind of precious and sort of what's that movie? I See Dead People. That.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I was playing around with that, and that would not have been my truth. That would have been a fictional piece, loosely based on. So that was kind of where the book was headed after my mother left 11 years ago, and then flash forward 6 years later, my big sister Lynn sadly got just a nasty case of cancer and was not able to put it in its place. And she crossed. And it was just, I was devastated. I'm like, oh my gosh, my second mother, you know, she's 12 years older than me. We just were super tight. So I go back to have to her funeral, and it was super sad. And my dad is still alive. So here's this now dad, let's see, he would have been, he was in his late 80s when Lynn crossed. Because he died like 2 years later. So here I'm, he's devastated. I'm trying to be there for him and absorb some of his pain. I get on the plane to fly home and I'm just like so despondent and so sad.
Yeah.
And so I started having a conversation with my sister on the airplane. And I said, Lynn, how do I ask mom to co-author this book? How do I do this? Because I had discarded the other way of writing the book. And I'm telling you, she just busted through my thoughts and I could hear her. And she said, ask Pam to communicate with mom. Well, Pam Osley is a dear friend of mine and a really well-known psychic medium out of Santa Barbara. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so wild. So I started writing a letter to her, but I didn't have any paper. The only paper I had was my Delta boarding pass. It was back when you used to print those up. So I just started writing to Lynn, like, dear Lynn, asking her how I was going to do this. And that's when the epiphany came. And the minute the plane landed, I picked up the phone. I called Pam Osley. I'm like, Pam, you know, I want you to ask mom if she'll write this book with me. And so I had a session. I'm in the backyard here. And oh, so great. I go to ask Pam and Pam goes, Jane, just stop. She's here. She's been waiting patiently for you. You weren't ready. And she's like, anytime you're ready, let's go. My mom was like, come on. What are you're dragging your feet. Let's go. Let's get this message out.
Yeah.
So that's what Lynn really was, the catalyst for me getting busy and making that happen.
Yeah. It's beautiful. So, yeah.
I want to send you a copy of this too. So,
it's been amazing reading it on my iPad. I haven't really done a lot of that, but it's really been amazing because some nights I lay in bed, my husband's sound asleep, and I'm just in it, and I've got my Kleenex, and then I stop and I connect above, so anybody that's listening, if you have loved ones in the next room, don't be afraid. Don't let your humanness get in the way.
There you go.
As you were talking about that, I could hear your mom saying, stop being so human, forget the doubts, forget the comparisons, forget all of that. And just write, because people so need to hear this.
Yeah.
And you, I'm going to say you four. Okay. You, your mom, Lynn, and Pam, five, because your dad too, he had insight, you present it in a way that anybody can relate to.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're
That's
welcome.
So nice. That's really nice. That's really good to hear. It's the labor of love, and I'm so pleased with how it feels. Like it's something that I go to and I pick up, and I know that, I don't know if that sounds weird, but I love reading it because every time I read it, I'm hearing from my mother. Because I literally, half of it, the latter part of it, part four, because it's in four parts, it wasn't me. I mean, I was asking the questions, but, I read it now and I'm like, oh my gosh, Mom, that's really good, And it is 100% my mother. Mm-hmm. And I know that without a shadow of a doubt. It's just because I don't have that kind of high elevated consciousness. I'm just a girl, I don't know from where it, came from. I mean, it came from her. It's just great.
Yeah,
it's just a wonderful gift.
It's beautiful. And as I was reading it, honestly, I was reminded of like the Seths and the Abrahams and all of that, those channelers that have Seth, I think he's been around since the
Ever.
60s. Not sure. A long time. But I was reminded of that in some of the comments that she made, that you two made together. And yet the explanations, like the box, like the people, it was explained in a way that I think people can comprehend and understand, because we are limited in our ability to understand all of that. Like you said, we're in our own little box. We're in our little own part of Santa Monica or Deckerville or Pleasant Ridge, Michigan or whatever. So to think beyond all of that, it's like the concept of the Matrix. And you two, you five really pulled it together in a beautiful way.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
You're so welcome. So we've only got about a few minutes left. And a couple of things that I wanted to ask. Like, the average person that wanted to connect in, do you have any suggestions? Do you and your tribe have any suggestions for, like, our producer Kojo, if he wanted to connect in?
Absolutely. And it's so simplistic that it's, just ask. I'm telling you, just ask. Get quiet. For me, you can't see the studio, but this is the next room in the next room. It's in our garage. I have a candle lit. I have every picture of anyone that I've ever loved that has crossed over, from Dick Kernan, Mom, Dad, Lynn, Budgie, my Aunt Teresa, my father-in-law. We're all here. I come in. I light a candle, I put my hands up, and I ask. Mm. I ask for source and for anyone that has a great communication to come through me and to help me deliver messages. Mm. And so just ask for it. And sometimes what's interesting, it's not always who you think it is.
Yeah.
If it is, you can ask for it, but if that soul is if it's not their forte, they'll step back and let someone else come in to help you with whatever it is. So it comes from the collective. You know, there are legions of souls that are here to help us move forward, which is really comforting.
I love that. Before I come into this, to my office, my meditation room, I lit all the candles. And today I lit an ancestor candle. And I said,
let's
just invite in the healthy, well, and wise ancestors so that whatever message is going to be the most powerful is delivered today. So I absolutely love that we are on that same wavelength of, you know, helping people connect, because it's all about love. And that was the other thing that your mom talked about. It's just unconditional love beyond what we as humans can possibly imagine.
Yes, absolutely. Terry, you're like a twin soul sister to me. It's kind of blown away. I'm like,
so crazy.
Why?
It's really
you need to
crazy.
Come on my show, The Next Room, and I'm going to get you a copy of my book. And because I don't like reading on an iPad or because I'm on a computer all the time. So
I like
holding it. I like, because then you can, you know,
folding down the pages. And
highlight
say, oh my God, I want to talk about this. Well, and it's been so short, right? Like, it's such a short time to be able to really delve in, but I think we got some really good, juicy stuff, you know? One of the other things that I always say is it's in spirit's hands. We're not going to go through this whole, you know, litany of questions. We're just going to let spirit guide us. And today our ancestors helping us, healthy, well, and wise ancestors. Okay. So we are definitely down to the wire. We have only got about a minute left, and I love for my guests to leave the listeners with something they can take out into the day to empower their lives or elevate their soul in some way. What would that be for you, Jane?
Really, I think I have to just say what my mother would say to you, and that is expand without fear. Whatever it is, if you're meant to paint, if you're meant to learn to play guitar, if you're supposed to take a sabbatical and travel to Africa, if you're supposed to write a book, just do it. Just expand without fear. Get rid of any of that silly stuff that holds us back from our greater, grander purpose while we're here in this physical sense.
I love that. Okay, listeners, this was a conversation with Jane Asher regarding her work, the book, The Next Room. Hey, for the video, for the people watching this on video, can you hold that up again for me?
Oh, sure. There you
go. That'd be beautiful. The Next Room with Jane Asher. What an amazing cover as well. So,
thank you.
Here's a virtual hug.
Yay.
Thank you
so
much for being here. And listeners, janeasher.com. Check it out.